T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Not only do you know him as the host of the Move the Sticks podcast along with Bucky Brooks, you also know him as an NFL Network analyst. He's also the Chargers radio analyst. Daniel Jeremiah joins us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. DJ, welcome to the show, sir.
How you guys doing?
Hey, sorry about that, guys. The reception in my house is terrible, so I just got in the car, and I'm going to drive around, see if we get better.
No worries. I was worried it was because I tried DJ out on you, but we've moved on. Don't worry. I feel more secure in who I am. We were just talking about the 2-2 records. The Browns are 2-2. The Chargers are 2-2. Half the AFC is 2-2, as a matter of fact. Hell, half the NFL looks to be 2-2. What is the reasoning behind the, or do you have a reason on the extreme amount of parity we have through 4 weeks in the NFL this year?
Well, I think nobody played in the preseason. I think it's a big part of it. I think we don't know who these teams are at this point in time. Normally we have a pretty good feel at the quarter poll. I don't even think we know who the good teams are at this point in time.
Right. Yeah, I don't think we do either. I mean, Tom Brady was asked the same question, and he says just a lot of bad football. Do you agree with that, or is it just the teams are kind of cannibalizing one another?
Well, I think it's a mix. I don't think we've seen great football played. I think it's the quality of play is going to improve as the season goes along. But I do think that there's a lot of parity. I feel like all the quarterbacks are in the AFC. I feel like all the defense is in the NFC, and it's kind of even itself out here.
Let's get to the Chargers here. One of those 2-2 teams that we talked about. What do you make of this team? I mean, I know they're 2-2. Herbert is fantastic, but they're down Rashawn Slater and Joey Bosa. Is this team, just about to hit another gear, or is this team that might take a little while to find itself?
Well, the other day, I mean, when they got handled by the Jags in that game, it was a little bit before half, and calling the game, and I realized that as Bosa and Slater had gone to my partner Matt Money Smith, I said, "Money, they're out 5." Pro Bowl players right now. You've got no Slater, you've got no Bosa, J.C. Jackson wasn't playing in that game, Keenan Allen wasn't playing in that game, and gosh, who was the other one? There's five guys. They're all out. So I'm sitting there going, I mean, what? I don't know that we should be totally shocked by how, the performance that we're seeing there, but since they've got J.C. Jackson back, I think it's going to be a while for Bosa. It looks like Keenan Allen didn't practice again today, so he's still going to be out. But they might have found something with Jamari Sawyer, their sixth-round pick at left tackle. And he's not Rashawn Slater by any stretch, but he's a lot better than the options they were playing with behind Rashawn. So that helped them out in Houston, although you're stepping up in class a little bit this week with Myles Garrett.
Daniel, the hot topic here is Herbert, obviously. I mean, Herbert's, the best quarterback the Browns have faced thus far this season by far. He was banged up a little bit earlier this season with the ribs. Is he still dealing with that? And how do you look at his health?
I thought it was much better last week. I'm sure the pain is still the same, but Dustin, when you get an injury that's new to you and you don't know, you get hit and it hurts a little bit, and then you kind of realize, hey, I'm okay. I'm going to be all right. And I think that Jags game, no practice, going out there not knowing what it was going to be like to play with that injury. Versus last week against Houston, he practiced a couple days. He's more familiar with the pain he's going to be dealing with, and he did a Herbert thing and threw for like 340 yards and looked like himself. So I think he's kind of settled into this as his new normal. I remember now that fifth player was Corey Lindsley, their All-Pro center, who was not playing in that game against the Jags. So getting him back was a big help as well. So Look, he's a unique talent. You guys see it. Everybody sees it. He is so big and so strong and so athletic. Even when he's not feeling great, there's not many guys better than he is.
Daniel Jeremiah, Chargers radio analyst with Nick and Dustin, breaking down the Chargers side of things ahead of this game. We do want to, you know, since you are not just a Chargers guy, you focus on a lot of the league. We'll get to some of the other things and maybe some Browns talk as well. But you just talked about the perfect package that is Justin Herbert. In a short time, he's become one of the best quarterbacks of the NFL. So how do you go about slowing down Justin Herbert?
Well, I think it's probably the same with just about everybody, you know, at that position where you can get interior pressure. That can be a load, because even when you get pressure off the edge, as with any of these top guys, they can climb up, they can get away from it, and you know, and still be successful. But if you can get pocket push and get some pressure off the edge, I think any quarterback's gonna struggle a little bit there. I think he's a little bit reluctant to run right now. He's moving around better, you know, within the pocket, and you know, you can boot him and do some of those things, but some of the scramble element of his game, I don't know that we're going to see that for the next few weeks as he's continuing to recover there. So, yeah, I mean, I feel like you probably could ask this question about every quarterback, and I think they'd all say the same thing, that that interior pressure is a killer.
DJ, what do you think of the Browns? You know, this is a team that probably should be 4-0 right now. Instead, they're 2-2. They blow the lead to the Jets, and then this past weekend, some questionable calls by Kevin Stefanski going for it in certain situations and not running the ball on the goal line when they've got it first and goal. How good do you think this team is?
Well, you know, look, we'll see if they can kind of hold the fort down until Deshaun Watson gets into the lineup. I mean, I don't think – and Jacoby Brissett's done a nice job, but I don't think they're a championship-caliber team with him. So, you know, but I think this is a line-of-scrimmage team that, you know, that's very physical on both sides. They're gonna be in every game because of their physicality, and they've just got to do a little bit better job of finishing. But as currently constructed right now, it feels like a playoff team. And then, you know, if you get Deshaun Watson and he looks like the guy that we saw last time we saw him play, which has been a minute, I think they're good enough in the trenches and at quarterback that it's a championship caliber team, but they got to get to that point and still be alive.
Daniel, you mentioned the path forward. Their next four games are the Chargers, Patriots, Ravens, and Bengals. Of those four teams, who do you think is actually the best four teams that the Browns are going to face in the next four games?
Ooh, so it was given to me again. It was Patriots, Bengals, Chargers. Who was the fourth team?
Ravens.
Yeah, I mean, I think if the Chargers were totally healthy, I think the Chargers are the best of that group. But they're obviously beat up right now. The Ravens, I don't think the Browns really fear the Ravens, you know. So I would reluctantly say the Ravens, I guess, at this point in time. But I don't think there's a game in there that you don't feel like you got a good chance of winning.
Hmm. All right. I agree with you. It was a point of contention on the show earlier today. So let's sift through the rubble of the 2-2 NFL right now. If you had to buy stock in three or four teams to kind of distinguish themselves, what teams in kind of that mired in that, you know, 2-2, 1-1-1 or whatever the hell the Colts are, what teams would you bet money on right now?
Wow, I don't want to bet money on any of them, to be totally honest with you. But you know, when you look around, there are so many teams in that pile. I don't love where the Colts are right now in terms of the left tackle position. I don't think Matt Ryan under pressure is something that's going to end well. I don't like Tennessee as much as I would have before the season started. I think Chicago stinks. The Falcons have been a pleasant surprise. I guess, look, at the end of the day, let's just go Tom Brady and Tampa and say they get it figured out by the end of the season. I think that's the safe bet. They're the 2-2 teams.
In terms of the AFC, you know, Nick and I talk about this all the time. We talk about the Bills and the Chiefs as like the two teams that really look to be the part. I mean, with Allen and Mahomes, the quarterback, we saw what Mahomes did on Sunday night. I mean, it was just insane. Like they score every time they touch the football. Is there another team in the AFC that you think could challenge either one of those teams?
Well, I mean, I love Joe Burrow, and I believe in Joe Burrow. I think you know, they've still got their flaws there. You got to feel like they can maybe get things turned around here at some point in time to be a threat. I mean, I don't want to be the homer and, you know, calling the Charger games, but I just feel like even without Slater, if they get Bosa back and they get Keenan Allen back, they've got some real dudes at all three levels of their defense. Khalil Mack's having a phenomenal year. I think they're, you know, maybe this is wishful thinking because I want to call meaningful games, but it feels like if they can kind of hang around until they get healthy, that they've got a shot. I saw them against Kansas City, you know, on the road, and I thought the Chargers at that point in time were a more talented team. I thought they were every bit as good as Kansas City and lost a close game. So, you know, I would stack them up if healthy against those guys.
Daniel, you're not just a Chargers fan. I remember you being a Padres fan. Is that something I remember properly?
Yes. In fact, Siciliano has been texting me all day because it's not often that my Padres and his Cleveland Guardians are together in the postseason. So it's nice to participate in these conversations.
I was going to ask you: Are you, if I egg you into it, will you lock in a Padres World Series run this year?
Sure. Yeah, why not? I mean, all we got to do is go through DeGrom and Scherzer, then turn around and go through the 110-win Dodgers, and then we'd have to go through the defending champion Braves. I mean, that's not very hard. Oh, yeah, then after that, we've got whoever the American League has.
Piece of cake. I mean, I think, knock it out in 10 games, you think? Daniel, great stuff as always, man. Really do appreciate you, and enjoy the game this weekend.
All right, guys, have a good one. We'll see you.
Thank you so much. Daniel Jeremiah there, NFL Network analyst. I feel like if we swapped the Pittsburgh and Atlanta losses, I feel like we'd all be more on the mindset that Daniel is. 2-2 was not ideal. They could be 4-0, but like the stretch ahead doesn't look as tough as it once did before the season, Dustin. But you've said it. Like you are a little... I don't say negative, but you're a little down on where the Browns are.
Yeah.
After hearing what DJ said, did that maybe soothe your mind a little bit?
No, I think I agree with what he said. I mean, the Browns are a very good team in the trenches, and his point about the fact that the Browns will be in every game is, I think, accurate. The question is, can they finish games? Can they close out games when it's a one possession deal in the fourth quarter? Are they going to make the right decisions? Are they going to rely upon their running game? I don't know, because I don't, like, last year Kevin Stefanski to me took a huge step back in his development as a coach and his play calling. This year, kind of similar stuff we saw last year. So I don't know what this team is. I think that they'll be in every game because they're talented and they got a really good roster. But that doesn't guarantee them, just like being in games doesn't guarantee you anything.
So I'm a little torn because I agree. I mean, especially coming off the Falcons game. You know, the first three games I felt Kevin Stefanski, the head coach, has a hand in what looked up and down, even though they were 2-1. Just because I didn't like the way, you know, kind of like what we're talking about. They didn't have the killer mentality. They didn't come out, or they didn't finish either the Panthers or Jets games the way you should want them to. But then I felt like the Falcons game was the play caller, Kevin Stefanski, losing okay. that game. But I continue to look at this, and it's so tough, Dustin, because it's tough to forecast a team either learning how to finish out games or just starting to try better or try harder. But if the Browns are a good team, if there's some average of who they've been the last 2 years, at some point in the next four games, we should see them do the thing you and I just talked about. If this team continues to not put teams away with the way the NFL works, it's going to catch up to them. Whether it's against the Ravens and Bengals, or whether it's waits until the Dolphins and Bills, like, and Buccaneers, like, at some point, you don't have what they've had the last couple years, and it starts with Joe Woods' defense, where the defense doesn't put the other team away, and then all of a sudden it's a game where it shouldn't have been a game like the Dallas game. So at some point, like, you can't make it through 3 years, and I'm not talking about like career-wise, you can't make it through 3 years and continue to win if over 3 years your bugaboo is you let teams back into it, because you just start to lose too many games that way. So it's, and I think it's you've got to cut that off, that bleeding, that late game bleeding. It's gotta happen now. Because I don't look at the next four games as all that troublesome like I did. The problem is you're going up against elite quarterbacks. To me, what scares me is post-bye, right? Those 3 weeks where if you come out of this and you're a game above 500 after week eight, well, okay, in this case, you'd be 5-3 because it's, you know, eight games. But I could see you piddling away things if you haven't buttoned up the back end of games against teams like Dolphins, Bills, and Bucks, all who could be hitting their, you know, form, playoff form by the time you play them.
Nick, how do they close out games? What do they got to do?
I think play harder, not take their eye off the ball. I don't think it's a talent issue. I don't even know. And I'll leave it open to interpretation. If you think it's something Joe Woods is doing, you know, the idea of prevent defense versus playing the cover two or cover three that happened up against the Jets game, like. I'll leave it open to interpretation that that's some of it. But quite frankly, I just don't think they play hard from the first whistle to the last whistle. And there are guys who do, but they don't collectively play that way. And specifically, they haven't in the secondary this year.
Yeah, this is a huge challenge for them this week. You think they're going to play well? I mean, you've been higher on this team than I have. And certainly when we've had these discussions about the secondary and the bus and things like that, I mean, is this the week they bounce back? Are they gonna? Is this an eye opener for these guys? Do they realize how big of a challenge, how big of a task this is going to be for them?
I mean, I would imagine. I mean, it's Justin Herbert.
How do you not, right?
Yeah, I mean, and listen, the Chargers are 2-2. So and egos are rampant in the NFL. So I'm sure that they're not going over there. I'm sure the Browns think they're the more talented team, especially with the Chargers' injury issues. But there's just no way that you cut on tape of Justin Herbert and don't realize that your A effort is needed in this one, because it doesn't matter if you're up three tuts with 90 seconds to go. He's just the caliber of player who can erase points, can erase a deficit in one play, two play. He's not Mahomesian level. I don't want to make it like that way, but I mean, I think he's the kind of guy with that kind of upside.
Yeah, I think he is too. I think he's – like if you look at the tier of quarterbacks in the AFC, and I'm not going to put Watson in there because he's not playing right now, but like where do we look? I mean, it's Mahomes, Allen,
Burrow,
Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow.
Russ, somebody? Russ probably yeah, belongs
probably,
in there.
Probably Russ in there. Hasn't played great so far this season.
Yeah, I mean, those are probably the elite of the elite.
And Deshaun?
Yeah.
I mean, three of the best quarterbacks in the AFC are in the AFC North.
You got it. I just need to see him. I need to see him show up. By the way, Germ saying, way too much criticism of Stefanski. The players need to execute. That's why we're 2-2, not play calling. Plays have been a good mix. I actually agree. The first three games there's actually a lot of things that Stefanski as a play caller did in the first three games. Hell, there were even some things that I liked in the Falcons game. I just felt like he put the game on Jacoby Brissett as a play caller versus putting it on Nick Chubb. And I think that's where I put the Falcons' loss. The first three games, I was referencing Kevin Stefanski hurt you. I put it on Kevin Stefanski for the first three games, how up and down they were, because this team clearly wasn't ready to play four quarters of football against Carolina, or you wouldn't have seen a dominant first half and then the game, you know, get real close and uncomfortable in the second half.
Right. Let's hope that they can play keep away with Herbert this week and keep him on the sideline as much as possible. Long 7-8 play drive or 7-8 minute drives if you can, like. That's the key, is honestly not playing from behind and keeping that dude off the field.
Oh, who do you feel better about this weekend, Gardos or Browns?
Gardos.
I actually feel pretty reasonably excited about both. I don't want to lock in a Browns win because this is just a tough matchup. I think you have the path to win, and if Stefanski doesn't execute it, I'll be pissed. If this isn't a really competitive game – And if the things that plagued them in the first four games plagued them in this game, I will not be happy on Monday. But like, I think they've got a real chance to beat the Chargers. And I mean, the only thing that gives me pause about the Guardians is, you know, that whole lack of playoff experience versus the Rays, who are a very playoff seasoned team.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.